The Sick Rose, written by Aaron Kelly and read by Abigail Hollick.
Prologue. September 2009. Louisa knew when she woke that she would do it that evening. The feeling had been hanging in the air for days like a gathering storm that only she could forecast. The usual signs were there. Music had become unbearable. Innocent conversations ticked like unexploded bombs. Memories nibbled like fleas in the bedclothes at night. And then, later that morning, she saw his face. A wisp of cloud, so low she felt she could reach up and pluck it from the sky, took the form of his profile. Fear held her still until the wind dispersed his likeness. From that moment she was lost. His reflection replaced her own in every puddle and pane of glass. Everyone spoke with his voice. Everything in the garden seemed to shift and grow to spell out the letters of his name. That ladder leaning against the wall formed the letter A, and someone had raked the soil in the empty flower beds in a zigzag pattern that described an endless succession of M's. Only the ruin stayed the same. Its three remaining chimneys silhouetted against the changing sky like lightning trees. As morning turned to noon, the sun passed through its glassless windows, marking the hours like some huge ancient clock. Louisa, knowing what the night would bring, wanted the day to last forever, but it was a blur of administration and conversation, and passed too quickly. She had been the first one on site and was the last to leave. She made sure the greenhouse door was pulled to, and, identifying each unmarked key at a glance, locked up the cabins. She felt her way along the thick cable for the weatherproof switch, and with a tiny pressure, the site was in darkness. There was only a weak moon, and she used her torch as she crossed the rubbled surface that would soon be a car park, passed through the thicket, and finally, staying parallel to the boundary wall, walked the path only she had trodden. The feeling rose inside her like an itch she had to scratch. This is the last time, she promised herself. The last time. There had been so many. Once inside, Louisa flicked on the little kettle out of habit, then turned it off before it had a chance to boil. She would not be drinking tea this evening. She busied herself with the ritual of lighting first the oil lamps and then the candles. Some of the large ones had burnt almost to stubs, and she had to put her hand right down inside the glass jars and vases to light them, scorching her knuckles as the wick took the flame. She double-checked all the windows, pulling the thick yellow curtains across so that no one would see. Who would be watching her anyway? She sat on the edge of the bed for a minute or two, letting the heater warm the room, and gave herself a chance to back out. But then she was on her knees, reaching under the bed for the bottle. Her fumbling fingers soon closed on the cold glass. It was sticky where the cap met the neck and wore a collar of fine grey fluff. Louisa winced. How long since she had done it? Spring? Yes. She realised she had resisted all summer long. No wonder the urge was so strong now. She could forget about him in the months where there was as much work as there was light, and physical exhaustion kept her asleep all night. But this was September, the hinge of the year, and the evenings were pulling up short. No matter how early she got up or how hard she worked, there was no escaping the fact that she was forced through her front door a little earlier every evening, each day bringing a few more minutes of that seething silence. The empty hours would stack up as the weeks progressed, and one dark, quiet hour was more than enough. She uncapped the bottle and swigged, the spirit punishing her throat. Now the exorcism could begin. There wasn't much vodka, but that was fine. She only needed it to give her courage to drink the whiskey. Her legs already unsteady, she climbed onto her bed and reached into the overhead cupboard. The deceptively small door panel concealed a space that went back for 2 or 3 feet, and she lost her arm up to the shoulder as she groped around in the carefully arranged stacks of bags and boxes.